Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, if you have your Bibles, I guess we don't do our Bibles, do we? It's dark. You can't see. So we're going to bring it up on the screen. Well, if you have your eyes, turn to the screen, would you please? And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up and eat and drink, for there's the sound of a rushing of rain." And Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And that's not at Andes. And he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." And at the seventh time, he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." And he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." And in a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, that's a great story, and I love that story anytime I come to it in my Bible reading. You know, there's a little saying that says this. It says, faith hears the inaudible, sees the invisible, and does the impossible. So really the question is, how does faith do that? I mean, what is it that energizes faith to that level? And I think we could say there is more than one thing. Certainly one of the things, I believe, is the Word of God. The Scripture says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, one of the things I know in my own life is that there's times when I feel I just need like a supercharge, a quick charge, so to speak. And one of the ways to do that is just read large portions of the Word of God. Turn off the TV, read your Bible, read a lot of your Bible, read a bunch of your Bible. Say, you know what, I'm going to read like two or three books in the Bible, and I'm just going to read it. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to just spend time in the Word. Watch what that does to your faith. Watch how it energizes your life spiritually. Watch how it increases your sensitivity to the Lord. I'm just saying it works. Then there's another way that faith is energized, and that is by prayer. And that's what we see in the passage we just read. We see the relationship that exists between prayer and seeing God do powerful things in our life, which, by the way, God delights to do. God loves to show himself powerful. Now, just a little background on that story. Elijah's praying for rain. The reason why he's praying for rain is because in 1 Kings chapter 18, the Lord had told him, listen, I want you to go to the king, to Ahab, because he's a wicked king, he's a godless king, and I want you to tell him, it's not going to rain in the land of Israel. And we know that it did not rain for 3.5 years. We know that because James chapter 5 and verse 17 says this, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So he had it's homopathes. It's homo, the same, pathes, passion. He had the same passions. He had the same desire, the same. He was human. He wasn't. Sometimes we think of guys like Elijah, this great prophet, and we think of him calling down fire from heaven, and we think about him raising the dead, and we look at that, and we think, well, he's a stained glass saint. He didn't have the same struggles we have. He didn't have the same thoughts we have. He didn't have the same battles we have. And James says, no, that's not true. He was ordinary in that he was like us. He was extraordinary in that he devoted himself to God. So watch this. He prayed fervently. Now, the word fervently there, it's not the way the original reads. And it's really unfortunate. There's times I just wish they would go ahead and make it where it's truer to the text and less trying to make it read perfectly for English. It's literally, he prayed. He prayed. You could put it this way if you wanted to. He prayed in his praying would be a way to say it. But literally it's, Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed. Have you ever prayed? Have you ever like so needed something from God that you just didn't pray, you prayed. You prayed hard. You prayed with everything in you. You prayed with all your might. You prayed in your praying. You said, I got to get a hold of God on this. I've got to have, no one else can help me. Only heaven can help me. I need God to go before me. I need something that wouldn't naturally happen. I need something that would supernaturally happen. I got to pray. And I can't just pray a little light prayer. I got to pray. That's Elijah. He prays that it might not rain. And for 3.5 years, it did not rain on the earth. 3 years, 6 months. And the whole point of this is that when you and I pray, and we really fervently pray, God answers prayer and powerful things happen. Well, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, after a long time in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I'll send rain on the land. And you can't just say, well, you know, now listen, what you're going to see in this story is he's going to pray, he prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. Now he's going to have to pray the rain back in. But what I want you to notice here is that he doesn't say, well, you know, if it's God's will, it's going to happen. It was God's will. But God's will is not going to happen unless he prays. It was God's will that it not rain for 3.5 years. But if he doesn't pray, God's will is not going to be done. How many times do we forfeit the power of God and the will of God and the work of God in our life because we won't lay hold of God and say, I'm going to pray till I receive what I know is your will. This is Elijah. He is praying. It was God's will, but he had to pray it into existence. Nor can we say, well, and the opposite of this is also true. I can't say, well, you know, I want something so bad, I'm just going to pray. I don't know if it's God's will or not. Because sometimes there are things we may want that God's will for us is either not yet or not ever. And all the prayer in the world, if we're praying against the will of God, is not going to get us the answer that we need. I mean, 1 John chapter 5, and we understand this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we say, ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So we need to know the will of God. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. In other words, God answers prayer, prayed in accordance with his will. And that's the lesson of this passage. And James tells us that because in James chapter 1 and verse, or James chapter 5 and verse 16, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Isn't that awesome? Now I want you to think about this, personalize this. The earnest prayer of Manish. Bring it back up on the screen here. The earnest prayer of Manish has great power and produces wonderful results. That's really, really. The earnest prayer of Zinya. Isn't that awesome? I mean, has great power and produces wonderful results. That is so. The earnest prayer of Ashley. Isn't that awesome? Has great power, produces wonderful results. The earnest prayer of Tim has great power. Do you realize this tonight? Your earnest prayer. You say, well, I don't feel very righteous. You're clothed in the righteousness of Christ, remember? You know, this is the value, if our conscience doesn't condemn us, and that's a whole other sermon, but, you know, of living a life that's pleasing to the Lord, lest you find yourself in a place where you need something from the Lord and your conscience is so busy condemning you that you can't really set that aside to get a hold of God. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So if you're loving the Lord, hey, we're not talking about the perfect person because there's no one righteous, not even one. We're right. Our righteousness comes by way of Christ and through our faith in him and what he's done for us. But we are, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power. Your prayer tonight has great power and produces wonderful results. Do you believe that? Boy, that was about as weak as you could possibly. I mean, that was a place where you could have said amen, and your faith would have been built, and you'd have said, come on, I feel faith rising in my heart. Okay, I'm gonna give you another chance. I want you to have every opportunity to see great things happen. You know what? We come into this place tonight, and you, just think, isn't it wonderful to think that as you pray, your prayer has great power and produces wonderful results. Isn't that awesome to think? Oh, yeah, I feel it already. Now, you think I'm teasing you, but you know what? When I say amen, when I give my amen to something, what happens is it engages my being in what I'm hearing and builds my faith. That's true.
Yeah, right.
I'm just going to say, you try it. You try it and see what happens. I went to a meeting, I won't say where I was at, and you could have heard a pin drop. And I, because I came late, which I don't like to do, but I had a good reason, and I didn't want to be disruptive, and I got the only seat, it was really full. I got a seat toward the back, but nobody was doing anything, and the poor guy up front. I mean, do you know what? Usually, a preacher will preach as good as the audience encourages him to preach. Now, I know you say, well, that's a preacher saying that. Well, of course, but I preach, so I can tell you how that works. So if I preach a bad message, man, it's all your fault. No. But what happens is, so I'm sitting back there, and the guy, you can tell, he's just like, he's starting to sweat a little bit, and it's not the anointing. It's like the nervousness that comes, like, these people are not even with me, and they don't care what I'm saying. So I said, you know what, I got to help this brother. I was like, come on. People come. I was like, that's right. You said it. You know, I'm saying amen. And you know what happens? Pretty soon people around me start doing it. And I mean, the more we did it, the better he got. And by the end of the meeting, I mean, it turned out to be a really great message and everybody was dialed in. Man, you try it. You try it. Okay? Anyway. Oh, see, come on, I'm already feeling like preaching. Okay, back to the message at hand. Okay, shout me down. I'm gonna give you 4 prayer principles. Are you ready? Okay, number 1, prayer hears the inaudible. Prayer hears what human ears can't hear.
That's good.
1 Kings 18. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat, and drink, for there's the sound of a rushing rain. Hello, it's not rained for 3.5 years. Where are you hearing rain coming from?
That's right.
It's not rained. 3.5 years, it's been dry as dust. But prayer hears the inaudible. Prayer hears. It hears from God. When you get alone with God, you're going to hear some things. This is the essence of prayer. A.W. Tozer says this, God speaks only to those who take time to listen. Somebody says, well, I can't hear God. I don't know what God wants. My first question is, have you gotten alone to listen? I'm not talking about, well, yeah, I just did. Well, how about get alone to listen? Are you listening? It is the man who cares who communes with the Most High and learns the secrets of the Lord. Well, that's true. You want to hear God? God wants to speak. And what happens is, prayer is not just talking to God, it's listening to God. Prayer is not just telling God what you need, though that is prayer, but prayer is a conversation.
Right.
It's listening. It's telling. It's listening. It's telling. It's listening. Sometimes it's just being with the Lord. I mean, I've said this before, but if you treated your friends relationally the way you treat God, how would it go for you?
Right. That's right.
If you were around your friends, you're like, hey, I need you guys to do this for me. I need this. I need this. And can you help me out with my family? If you could give me some, and you go through your list and you apply your prayer list and think of it relationally, the people around you, how's that going to play with them? Next time you call, you're going to get the busy signal or the voicemail. Yeah. Have you listened to God? Do you know his will? Have you heard his voice? Prayer hears the inaudible. Elijah is able to say, I hear the sound of rain. How? He's prayed. He's hearing what God is going to do before God does it. He hears it in the spirit before he hears it in the natural. Number two, prayer humbles us. The problem with most of us is that we're just too big for God to use. We're too strong. We're too independent. We're too self-sufficient. We're too clever. We're too busy trying to solve our problems in our own strength. Well, God helps those who help themselves. That's not in the Bible. You know, John Bunyan put it this way. You can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you can't do more than pray until you've prayed. So we have to pray. The scriptures say this, God opposes the proud, but he favors the humble. So humble yourselves before the Lord. How do we humble ourselves? One of the ways, well, the psalmist says, I think it's Psalm 35, verse 10, I humble myself with fasting and prayer. So that's one of the ways we fast. We say, you know, I'm going to do without food because God, I got to have your help more than I need to eat. We humble ourselves when we depend on him on prayer. Now, look at this in 1 Kings 18:42. Now, Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. You know, I understand that prayer is first and foremost a posture of the heart. But I think we need to be careful that we don't exclusively relegate the posture of prayer to what we feel in our heart. Because I'm going to tell you what, the way I sit determines how well I pay attention, how well I listen. The posture of my body has a lot to do with what I get out of a meeting, what I put into a meeting, what I feel in a moment. We all know that to be true. I mean, he prays. He bows himself on the earth and puts his face between his knees. This is not a comfortable kind of position, but he so needs God that he puts his head down. And I'll need a chiropractor when I'm done with this. Lord, I've got to have your help. Lord, I need you to send rain.
That's right.
It had rained for 3.5 years. I need you to do it, God.
That's right.
When's the last time you prayed that way?
Wow.
When's the last time you said, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to humble myself in my posture and I'm going to cry out to God, because unless he helps me and unless I touch heaven... Too many times we content ourselves with thinking a prayer instead of even saying a prayer, let alone humbling ourselves and falling on the floor and saying, oh God, I've got to have your help. And lifting our voice and crying out to God. And prayer humbles us. I'm just simply saying that there are some and you need an answer from God and you got to get a hold of God. And hey, listen, we're learning from a man who knew how to pray and see the power of God in his life and in the life of the nation in an amazing way. This is not accidental. This is not just a style that he had. This is a godly man teaching us how to get a hold of God.
Right.
Third, prayer sees the invisible. Verse 43, and he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and he looked and he said, "There's nothing." He only sees what his physical eyes can see. And the reason why is because he's not praying. I promise you that the more you give yourself to prayer, not only the more you'll see, but you'll see differently. You'll see the situation different. You'll see that problem different. You'll not only see an answer, but you'll see the circumstance different. He said, "There's nothing." Elijah said, "Go again." 7 times. You know what? We quit too soon. If he stops after the first time, nothing is going to happen. If he stops after the second time and says, "Well, I guess it's not God's will, because, hey, I didn't have to do that to call down fire from heaven, because, like, when I called down fire from heaven, I said, God's in fire." And boom, it came, and it was more than I thought, bigger than I thought, more dramatic than I thought, and I only had to do that twice, so come on. Rain's a natural thing. It shouldn't take more than two. You know how that's how we play the game, isn't it? Well, I prayed. Well, I fasted. Keep praying. Keep fasting. When you fasted 7 times. You know, I'm just saying there are some things that you so know to be the will of God, and God has spoken to your heart, that you pray until it happens. Go again 7 times, and the 7th time he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." And he, that's Elijah, said, "Go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." What's Elijah looking for? He's looking for a sign or an evidence that God has answered his prayer. And in this case, it's a cloud that's the size of a man's hand over the ocean. I mean, that's not very big. And he said to his servant, "Go now, look toward the sea." And he went, and he said, "There is nothing." And he said again, go again 7 times. And the 7th time he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." And he said, "Go." When it comes to receiving from God, pray until you have evidence he's answered. And I would say this, there's times, and old timers used to call it praying through. There comes a point when you realize it's broken, that you broke the yoke of the problem. You've broke the chain, you've battered the door down. But until you get to that point or you see something different, keep praying. Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Pray and don't stop until you see the cloud. Elijah prayed 7 times. It says this, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." And he said, "Go and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, go down, lest the rain stop you." Prayer sees the invisible. And it's so interesting. Two men see the same thing physically, but only the person who is praying sees in the spirit what will soon take place physically. It's a very interesting thing. You know, the servant doesn't come back and say, "Wow, there's a cloud. It's going to rain." He's like, Elijah says, "Do you see anything?" And he's like, "Just a cloud the size of a man's hand." Very interesting. Prayer changes what you see and how you see it. Prayer strengthens us supernaturally. I love this. Look at it. The Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, that's a distance of 18 to 22 miles. So he's running down there. And the reason why it's urgent for Ahab to get going is because he's over by the Mediterranean. He's going to go back to his capital, which is Jezreel. And that whole land, today it's not. Today the Israelis have drained it, and it's no longer a swamp. But back then it was marshy. And so the minute rain came, chariots would be of no use. So here is Elijah, and in because he's prayed, and I mean, he's had a huge day. When you call down fire from heaven, that's exhausting. When you're facing off against a nation, that's exhausting. And here he is. He's prayed, and the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. When? After he prayed. Musicians, you can come. He's a living illustration of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. The Message puts it this way, but those who wait upon God get fresh strength. You know, if you came here tonight, and I mean, this is one of the great arguments for coming to church on Wednesday night, because usually you're in the middle of your week, you're tired, and you're like, wow, it's a real, God bless you for being here, because I know it's not easy. Some of you are dead tired. But watch this. Those who wait upon God get fresh strength. What kind of fresh strength? They spread their wings and soar like eagles. I mean, strength that lifts them up, strength that holds them up. They run and they don't get tired. I mean, you're able to go, and people are like, aren't you tired? No, I'm doing good. Man, don't you get tired? Don't you wish you just stayed home from church? No, I get there, and I do a lot better when I get there. They walk and they don't lag behind. They walk and they're able to keep in step. Listen, that's the importance of prayer, the value of prayer. It's why tonight we need to pray. And I don't know what you need, but I can say this. Whatever it is that you need, the answer's found in prayer. Prayer hears the inaudible. Prayer sees the invisible. Prayer humbles us, and prayer gives us strength. I just want to encourage you tonight. I want to encourage you to get a hold of God. There's some of you tonight, you're up against it, and God is saying, I will help you, but you're going to have to cry out to me. And for some of you, that's going to be a first-time deal for you because you've never done it. For others of you, it's been a long, long time since you've done it. And you know what? There's just times when that's just a part of what we got to do to go where God wants us to go or to receive what God wants to do in our life. And a half-hearted prayer, Spurgeon said this, begs God not to answer. Man, that the half-hearted person, you're not laying a hold of God. If you really need God's power, you have to believe when he's up there on the mountain, he is calling out to God with all that's within him. A nation is waiting. A nation is watching. People are dying because the land has not had rain for 3.5 years. So with all of his heart, he prays. And God brings rain in answer to that prayer and strength that he can run in front of a chariot for 18 miles. Amazing.